morning, Heavenly Father, as it comes, we ask you bless it. We ask that you allow it to do, Heavenly Father, what the Holy Spirit said it would do, Heavenly Father, that it would open hearts, Heavenly Father, and change hearts, change minds. Allow, Heavenly Father, those who don't know you, Heavenly Father, and the partners of their sins to come this way. Because, Heavenly Father, your word is a light. And, Heavenly Father, it draws those, Heavenly Father, who have a heart to hear, Heavenly Father, what the word says. And so we just ask, Heavenly Father, that the word be a blessing to those who receive it, that we be able to meditate on it, Heavenly Father, and that we be able to allow it, Heavenly Father, to do what it is you said it would do. These and other blessings, that's your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen and hallelujah. And saints, I don't know where you all have noticed, but today has been a little bit different. And with men, we do things differently sometimes. And so we'll give honor to God, Pastor Pickens, and my co-laborers in the ministry up here on the roster with me. The title of our message today is, Am I My Brother's Keeper? Okay. Now, our focus scripture this morning comes from the book of Genesis. I ask that you all who are able to stand for reading of God's word. And we'll be in chapter 4, verse 9. That's Genesis 4 and 9. If you need a little more time, will you say wait? Amen. And Genesis 4 and 9 reads, Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Holy Spirit has given me 3 points of emphasis he wants us to consider this morning. And they are jealousy, loyalty, and we need you. And so you may be seated, saints. And this, saints, is the Sunday that we celebrate the brotherhood ministry. The group of men in the church that cross ministries, cross boundaries, and cross paths to do the work of God together. Our brotherhood here at Pilgrim Branch is a group of men that wear many hats. So we have a lot of different things to do. Some of us are ministers. There are some deacons and others are members of the congregation, but we all are united by the scripture that says how good and pleasant it is when brethren can dwell together in unity. You know, I pray this morning that this word strengthens us, brings us even closer together, and unifies us for the work that God has called us to do. Because we know there's a lot of work out there. Even in the word it says the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And so when there's one thing you do need to understand when you decide to take that step and become a member of the brotherhood, there is going to be some work for you to do. We do lots of work. But we're thankful that God has called us to do that. You know, and now we know and understand, though, that the enemy is still on his job. And so he's going to, you know, we talk about the things that we do. We're going to have to discuss some of the things that might keep us from being all that we can be for God if we do not lift up the bloodstained banner against him. We talk about that with our men all the time to make sure we stay united in our purpose, because we have a purpose of living for God. And when we stray from that purpose, then we get off track. So we want to make sure we do that. And so our first topic this morning is jealousy. In the book of Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 7, the scripture reads, In the process of time it came, that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offer, but he did not respect Cain and his offer. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance failed. So said the Lord to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. And man, that's where we are this morning. We have to learn to rule over those things that cause us to go astray from what God would have us to do. Because brothers, if we are to work together, we cannot be jealous of one another or of the gifts that God has bestowed on us. Now, this is how Cain ended up killing his brother, because he was jealous of his offer, jealous that the Lord had given Abel the blessing and not him. And he ended up killing Abel and committing the first murder that the world had ever known. Unfortunately, saints, men have been killing each other ever since, finding more and more sophisticated ways of doing so as time has gone on. But, you know, we don't have to physically kill somebody to kill them. They say, well, if you're not going to physically kill them, then how are you going to kill them? You're going to kill their spirit. And saints, when you kill folks' spirits, it leaves them just as dead. Especially when we kill the desire for us to fellowship together. Because sometimes that jealousy will stick its ugly head into a situation. Oh, I'm not going over there because I don't like them. Oh, well, I heard they were talking about me, so I'm not going to associate with them. That's the kind of stuff that tears organizations apart. And so therefore, we have to acknowledge that it is our responsibility, and our first responsibility as we come together as a group of men, to love one another. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 37 through 39, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And see, if we're going to please God and do his will, see, it's one thing for us to decide we're going to do what we want to do. Because, you know, we get up with an agenda every morning. I'm going to do X, Y, Z. I'm going to go here. I'm going to do that. You know, some of us take the time to sit at night and, okay, well, let's scribble this out and we're going to lay out our plan for the day. But again, those plans are always subject to what God has for you to do. Because, see, God can change. You can scribble all you want in your daytimer. You can put it in your phone. You can leave notes. You can do this, that, and the other. But, again, at the end of the day, God is the one who controls where you go and what it is you do. Amen. And he also knows when you're going contrary to what it is he has assigned you to do. So just keep that in mind. Because if you find yourself someplace you know you're not supposed to be, there's a reason why you're there. You're going astray from where God would have you to be. And so we're going to please God and do his will. You have to understand we can't accomplish the work that God has for us to do. We're going to be jealous of our brothers. You know, our constant goal is to become stronger in Christ. And jealousy keeps us from achieving that purpose. You know, instead of being jealous of another brother's gifts, we need to thank God that he blessed him. And ask God through the power of the Holy Spirit to show you the gifts that God has for you and that he has bestowed on you, and how they can be used in kingdom building. Because you'll be surprised how infrequently folks do that. They wonder, they look at so-and-so and they say, well, they can do this or they can do that, they can do the other. But when did you take the time to stop and ask God, you know, what gifts have you given me, Lord? Is there something, Heavenly Father, that I'm overlooking? Have I taken the time to sit and reflect on what it is you have for me to do? Most likely, and you know, one thing about being up here in the pulpit, this is the truth area right here. See, when you know that God has given you something to do and you decide to go in a different direction, when you ask that question, he's going to remind you, I told you that you should have been over there a long time ago. There are some things that you should have been doing a long time ago, but you, in your own infinite wisdom, decided to go the other way. And you know what, I gave you grace and mercy. You still here to talk about it, but I'm going to need you to get on the path that I have carved out for you. Because when you're doing what God has for you to do, there are blessings in that. And we have opportunity not only to be a blessing to God, but a blessing to others. Because that's what he has called us to do. And as a brotherhood, that's what we're all about. And so our second topic this morning is loyalty. And men, we cannot exist as a brotherhood without loyalty. And I know that there are several members in the brotherhood that are also members of fraternities. And one thing that I know that my fraternity drilled into me is that being loyal to the fraternity means being loyal to your brothers. You can't have a fraternity if you don't have some loyalty. You know, and it works the same way in the brotherhood here at Pilgrim Branch. I'm thankful that God has placed me to work with a group of men. And no, saints, we are not perfect. Don't make the mistake of thinking that we all have our drawbacks and our issues. But when we come together, we strive to do what it is God has called us to do. And so if we look at that loyalty piece in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Scripture says, let not mercy nor truth and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in sight of God and man. You know, and see, without a understanding of what the word loyalty means, we cannot be our brother's keeper. Because our first concern is going to be about us. What about me? Why haven't I got my just due? Where's my stuff? Instead of concerning ourselves with the needs of our brothers. You know, and as we strengthen one another, the brotherhood gets stronger as well. And loyalty also means and gives us an opportunity to acknowledge our responsibilities to the generations that are following us. Even in Sunday school this very morning, we were talking about young people and the things that they seem to have missed, especially the young people that we're dealing with these days. They have no sense of who they are. They have no sense of what they're supposed to be doing. They seem to be just drifting about aimlessly, waiting for somebody to bend down, give them a hand, and guide them in the direction that they should go. And see, being part of the brotherhood gives us the opportunity to do that. In the book of Proverbs 22 and 6, the scripture reads, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so we have to be about the business of training our children. And it takes men with loyalty to the next generation to turn boys into men that will be capable of following God's command to be fruitful and multiply, because that's what God has given us to do. Amen. And because if we allow our young men to go without that training, without that opportunity to learn who they are, to understand what it is it means to be a young man in the world and to grow up to be an older man, and, you know, we wonder why we find ourselves off track. We wonder sometimes why women begin to say that they might be better off by themselves. Because the men that we have produced are not capable of raising, of running households, of raising children. And why is that? Because we did not train them when they were young. You know, we do not take the time to teach and prepare our young men first to be men. And then secondly, as they begin to be men, they also need to learn to be God-fearing fathers and leaders of household. Amen. Then we have missed the mark. And we should question why our brotherhood exists. Yeah. You know, our loyalty leads us to teach not only our own sons, but any young man that we know that needs to be taught. Yeah. You know, sometimes there might be a sister in Christ that is struggling to raise a son. And our brotherhood should be there for support and guidance to help with that need. We don't want to leave our sisters in Christ out struggling by themselves. There are certain things that young men can only learn from another man. And so we need to be able to teach them. And so when that call goes out, we only ask two things of our sisters in Christ. One, that you let us know that you have that need. And two, that, you know, once you discover that you have that need, that you provide your young men to us to be trained. Amen. Because, you know, we can't train people that we don't get an opportunity to see. Amen. You know, it will do a lot of good for our young men to come to one of our suit-up events. As he will learn how to dress, how to carry himself in public, how to do well in school. And to meet men that have established careers in the work world. And it takes a while to be able to gather all that knowledge. It doesn't happen overnight. So we have to have periods of time where we can spend time with the young man. To get to know him, he'll get to know us. We have an opportunity to impart some of our wisdom to him. Hopefully he will be able to take that wisdom and be able to share it with you and to share it with others. But if we don't ever get an opportunity to meet, then where can we go from there? And lastly, saints, we want to look at, we need you. And this goes out to our brothers this morning. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Scripture reads, and let us consider one another, in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more, as you see the day approaching. You know, if we're going to be successful at being our brother's keeper, all of our brothers need to be members of the brotherhood. You know, we have brothers here who have been members of our church for a while but have not yet seen fit to join the brotherhood or attend our meetings consistently. And that fact is unfortunate because the brotherhood here at Pilgrim Branch is a very diverse group of men. You know, we have an octogenarian. We have two doctors, at least two engineers, educators, coaches, and accountants. We have some healthcare workers, and all we're missing is you. You know, we cannot be our brother's keeper if you do not present yourself to be taught, to be trained, and to become a stronger member of the body of Christ. You know, these are things that membership in the brotherhood can do. And I've seen this personally because several of the deacons and ministers here in this church were members of the brotherhood before the Lord called them to higher positions of service. And I'm living proof of that fact. You know, I've personally been a member of the brotherhood here for 21 years. And I'm a living testimony of the work this membership can accomplish. You know, if our church is going to continue for another 155 years, however long God allows it to continue, because we don't know, it would need faithful men to lead it. And the brotherhood here at Pilgrim Branch has a reputation for molding men who can become leaders in the church by teaching them how to accomplish the work that God has called men to do. So if you find yourself sitting on the sidelines, come out and join us. Or if there's something that is stopping you from joining us, come let us reason together. And maybe we can work the situation out. So I'm sure that God has provided you with some gifts that will make our ministry in this church much stronger. The strength in the body of Christ is supplied by God to those who present themselves for service. See, if we're sitting idle and we're not doing anything, then what use are we to God? God has given us a mission that we need to be on. God has given us some things we need to be doing. There's teaching to be done. There's leadership that needs to be applied. There's training that needs to be done. And all of those, and last but not least, there's also work that needs to be done, because periodically things need to be painted. Amen. Periodically things need to be touched up. Sometimes the church needs to be cleaned up. All of those things are provided a lot of times by members of the brotherhood. Sometimes we have days we come up and all we do is clean. Yeah. And that's good, because it gives us the opportunity not only to, you know, develop some relationships. We learn how each other works. We learn about the things that we do, and we also have opportunity to, again, see God at work. Because God allows men to be able to come together and be able to fellowship like that. You know, and I'm sure for those of you all who have not joined us yet, that God has provided you with gifts that will make our ministry stronger. And so, you know, we think about that process and we think about the question, "Oh, brother, where art thou?" Because first we ask, am I my brother's keeper? Secondly, if we're looking for that brother that hasn't joined us yet, we're asking, "Oh, brother, where art thou?" Because we're waiting for you. Amen. And so we ask that you join us and through the power of Christ be changed into a change agent. Because none of us started off that the person that you see today, the men that you see today, none of these men started off in the position that you see them in today. They all started off hungry, wondering what they could do to learn more about God. Amen. Looking for an opportunity to be trained, looking for an opportunity to learn about what being in a relationship with God is all about. You know, I look at my son, I think about Jermaine, the two birthday twins, and I call them that because their birthday is on the same day. And I think about when they joined the brotherhood. And they both joined the brotherhood before they became deacons, and it was just interesting that they went through that, the process that I had an opportunity that God has blessed me to watch them walk through. Amen. And now they are grown and on their own and have families of their own. And again, like I say, if that process is going to be able to reproduce itself, it has to be taught. It has to be trained. It can't be just put out there and just, okay, well, you figure it out. Now, periodically, the trained guys, we might do that. Okay, yeah, okay, well, this is your problem. This is what the situation is. You figure out what you do, what you would do. But we're all also going to say, okay, bring us your solution, and let's see what is going to work. We're not going to leave you out there and just let you flounder with it by yourself. Because that's how you train people. What you don't do is send people out to go ahead and find their own solution, and whatever it is they come up with, you just let them apply it. That's not training. That's not how you train people. And so for that training to happen, we have to be about the business of knowing and watching Jesus' example, how he did with the disciples. Before he sent them out, he trained them, prayed with them, talked with them, told them first to come and follow him. And as they decided to follow him, then they had an opportunity to spend time with the master. Yeah. And you can learn from the master. If you can't learn from anybody else, you can learn from him. And he will teach you what it is you need to know. Yeah. But again, if you are not about the business of wanting to learn and willing to strike out on your own, you do that at your own peril. But the one thing that being a member of the Brotherhood for this long and having an opportunity to work with these men. Great group of men, by the way. Again, I just want to acknowledge that. But they all have their things they bring to the table. And we learn so much from one another that we have opportunity to be able to affect some things that we normally wouldn't be able to affect if we were just dealing with our own knowledge and just what one individual knows. And so if we come together, saints, and we celebrate this Brotherhood Annual Day, we just want to be able to allow you to experience our feelings of unity and love for one another. And thank you all for being here today. Thanks to God for being able to put this group of men together. Because, again, it doesn't just happen by itself. Amen. And lastly, we just want to be about the business of doing God's work, because we know there are still things to do. Amen. So, saints, as we go forward, we just ask that you pray for us as we go into the days and our ways and do the things that we need that God has given us to do.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."